You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden.
Anyway, this is that garden show. If you'd like to listen up, our numbers are 1-415-808-5600. In the meantime, here comes Edie with all of the events going on in the Bay Area. Welcome, Edie.
Morning, everybody. Morning. Don't forget to visit our website at www.bobtanum.com for information about how to get in touch with your local master gardeners. It's a great time to look forward to volunteering. All right, so we have Mondays at the Bees and Blooms in the evening. After stressful Mondays, you can go and listen to some very interesting sounds and smells, of course, with the lavender and everything else to start relaxing so you can get ready for the rest of the week. That happens every Monday at 6:30 to 8. They're at 3883 Petaluma Hill Road. Go to Eventbrite for tickets because they do have to make sure they have enough space for you. So that was 3883 Petaluma Hill Road in Santa Rosa. Eventbrite for tickets. Look for Bees and Blooms. Sounds like fun. Beginning gardening on Zoom. Now, this is actually in Spanish, and this is by the Master Gardeners of Contra Costa County. Thank you for my friend Anne for letting me know, because she's with the Master Gardeners over there. See what I mean? Okay, that was be involved in your local Master Gardeners. There we go. So this is happening for four Fridays. It is gratis. I didn't say that right, but you know. It's free. It's August 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th from 9 to 12. So you can tell anybody you know that may have, preclusion to speak Spanish first. Clases gratis de jardinería de alimentos para principiantes. Plantes. And my husband's driving and he's going, why'd you say that so badly? Okay. All right. So that's go to CCMG, so Contra Costa Master Gardeners, .ucanr.edu/jardineros, and that will lead you to sign up for the class. The Ruth Bancroft Gardens, bring a friend for free day. So anybody who is a member of the Ruth Bancroft Gardens can bring a friend for free on Wednesday, August 4th at 9 a.m. I believe they have this once a month. Their garden and nursery is at 1552 Bancroft Road in Walnut Creek. Give them a call at 925-944-9352. 925-944-9352 to find out about membership. Or you can go to their website, of course, at ruthbancroftgarden.org. August 4th, 7 p.m., let's see, Cool Season Gardening. This is with the Master Gardeners of Alameda County. And the ucanr.zoom.us is to get started there. And take a search for Cool Season Gardening. Look for Master Gardeners of Alameda County to find out all of their classes coming up. You could also give them a call at 510-370-5645. 510-670-5645, or go to AC for Alameda County, Master Gardeners, acmg.ucanr.edu. All right. Also on August 14th from 11 to 12, growing onions and garlic. Also by the Alameda County Master Gardeners with the same information there, August 14th, 11 to 12. Cleaning and greening Lafayette Park. This is a San Francisco resident thing going on. Their Friends of Lafayette Park, or also known as FULP, has a website at friendsoflafayettepark.org. And this is happening August 7th, September 7th, and October 2nd. And this is in San Francisco, so if you know where Lafayette Park is, get in touch with them through their website. Seed and Soul Club is having a plant swap in Marin on Saturday, August 14th. Go to Eventbrite for tickets and times. 9:30 to 1:30 is the event. And you can also go to seedandsoulclub.org. Not sure if "and" is spelled out. I usually shorthand it, so I'm not sure. Master Gardeners of Marin Art and Garden Center is located at 30 Sir Francis Drake Boulevard in San Anselmo. So that was number 30, Sir Francis Drake Boulevard. And it's a really beautiful place to go. It's actually in Ross, little township there. Really old part of Marin. That's really cool. Been there, done that. That's right. That's where the original fair was from Marin County. Always remember that. Stanford Shopping Center, end of summer plant swap, hosted by Gardeneur. So Gardeneur, since I'm not French, I'll just spell it out. August 28th and August 29th, 10 to 5 both days. So go to gardeneur.com for more information about the plant swap at the end of August at the Stanford Shopping Center. Filoli Gardens, Filoli, is still having their summer nights on Thursdays at 5 p.m. To sign up and go and have fun at filoli.org, filoli.org. And San Francisco Botanical Gardens is still having their Bean Sprouts Family Days, and there's all sorts of different times. So go to their website, SFBG, San Francisco Botanical Garden, .org, and take a look around. You could also give them a call and listen to their messages at 415-661-1316 for more information, 415-661-1316. And you can also look forward to their piano days in the garden. That's coming up in September. We'll find out more about that as time gets closer. Here you are, Dad. The rest of the show's yours.
How about that? I get 45 minutes or something like that. Anyway, welcome to all the other good things. Our numbers, if you'd like to call in, now's the time to do it because the lines are open. 1-415-808-5600. The sun is now coming out of all the wonderful fog that keeps us cool in the summertime until September. Let's see. I think it's September 8th. I'll predict that we will have the heat wave. Yeah, you can check that out anyway. Anyway, I thought I'd talk a couple of things if you don't want to call in. Everybody talks about tomatoes and everybody talks about zucchini, but I'm going to talk about a little bit about corn this morning. I had a call this morning or an email that asked me, when do I harvest and all that kind of thing. So, corn, you know, off the cob at your home, you have never tasted anything like that. And so growing corn is a pretty easy thing to do. You put it in the ground, it grows. As long as you have good soil and you keep enough water and all that kind of good stuff. But one of the things that you don't know is how you can make all those corn ears be more productive. What I do? All right, I take the top off. You know that little funny thing at the top? And it's full of pollen. And you take the pollen and you shake it on the silk. Now, what is that sounds silly, doesn't it? No, but it isn't. Each one of those little silk strands goes to a kernel. Did you know that? But not very many people do. So each one of those, so if you pollinate each and every little tiny silk strand and it goes into that corn kernel, you're going to get more kernels on the corn.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you know that?
More, I did not know that.
See? So the more kernels, never mind.
More sex in the garden.
Yeah, well, we're enjoying all of that kind of good stuff. But anyway, if you do that, then you get a more full, wonderful thing. Now, that's step number one on how to grow corn. Number two, the question was, when do I know how to harvest the corn? Well, that's pretty simple. You go to the ear. And you say, knock, knock, are you there? No, it doesn't work. An ear is not a sound symbol. No, an ear is an ear, you know. That's the thing you take off. No, actually, when the silk has all dried up and it comes off, you know, you can shake it a little bit and it comes off. It's done its job. It's pollinated. And your corn ear is ready to harvest. Now, after you harvest, before you harvest, put the kettle on the pot, on the stove, and bring the water to a boil first. If you do that, the corn will then be at its prime to eat. And lots of butter, of course. I love butter on the corn. But anyway, a lot of people who can't do that, no, you don't have to. Just put a little, just eat it the way it is. And one of the things, one of my favorites, golden bantam corn. It's an heirloom corn, and it does a great job. So Polly put the kettle on, and then you harvest the corn, take the shucks off, and then put the ear into the case, and then you'll be fine. So I just thought I'd like to talk about corn, but we're probably going to be talking about tomatoes all the rest of the time. So there is my thoughts for that particular time. In the meantime, let's go to Kathy with a C in San Francisco. Hi.
Hey, good morning, Bob. I have a question for my brother. He lives in San Bruno, and he has a Eureka lemon tree. And most of the branches have the thorns on them, instead of just straight branches. Uh-huh. And he was wondering why so.
Okay, Kathy. The problem could be that those thorns... would depend on the thorns looking kind of thing. Never mind.
Well, they're pretty...
if they're big and long, I would suspect that that's sucker growth.
Oh, okay.
And so what she has to do, Kathy, is to look at the base of the base of the plant and see if some of that those branches, which normally will be very vigorous, are coming from below the graft.
Huh, okay.
And if
so
they are...
in the trunk.
Yeah, eliminate it, okay. Yeah. So, a lot of people, look at a beautiful plant. It's got lots of good leaves, and it's growing, and it's coming up through the rest of the plant, and it's just... That's sucker growth, so eliminate it. That's all you're going to do, okay?
Okay, all righty. I'll tell them to check it out. Okay, thanks, Bob.
All right, Kathy, and you enjoy it. Have a good day. All right, bye-bye. That leaves the lines left open if you would like to join. We're going to take a little break right after this, but then after you do that, we'll do that. This is Bob Tanum in the Garden Talk, Radio 560 and KSFO. Yeah, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560.
Let's go to Cindy in Dublin. Hi there, Cindy.
Hey, hello there, Bob. That was funny. Yes. So, Bob, nice to hear you, of course, always. Bob, about a pomegranate tree, is there a dwarf or just a bush? Or I don't know too much about it. I'd like to.
Well, pomegranates are a bushy kind of tree, but they're not really a tree. They're trained that way. Normally, yeah. So they're really just a huge bush. They get around 6 feet, 6 to 7 feet. Yeah. But if you want a tree, then you can do it. You just by pruning off the side shoots and stuff like that. I just let them grow, and they're very nice, and they do well. But there is a dwarf form, but beware of that, because the fruit on a dwarf form is not edible.
Oh, it's not, though. That wouldn't be good then.
Yeah. So I just get a regular one, and if it gets out of hand, you can always prune it.
Right. Right, Bob. And can it stay in a container?
You need a... bigger than around a big, let's say a half tub or half barrel, or a 15-gallon container, something like that. It'll grow successfully in that. Watering would be the problem in a container because they don't really want an awful lot of water. But you have to time that, and you can figure that one out as you grow along. But when they're small, they need the water. When they get bigger, the ones that we have in New Beginnings are, 20 years ago, we planted. They don't get watered at all, so I'll let you know that, okay?
Oh, they don't need it, huh, Bob?
That's right, after they're established.
Oh, and Bob, is it seasonal, right?
They bloom early, and the fruit is just beautiful. Actually, a lot of people grow them for the blooms, regardless of the fruit. I'm not sure about pollination, but I think they really need the bees. I haven't really observed that because I've never had the need to, because I always get a lot of pomegranates. But I assume that they get the pollination with some sort of animal that flies around and pollinates.
Bob, they're miraculous for the body, Bob, for the heart and everything. I mean, they're just one of the most miraculous fruits. the juice,
they,
you know?
They are. Well, you know, when we when the missions grew them, which every mission had a pomegranate tree or more, they used them for dye because the Indians used them for dye, you know, making their clothes colorful. I don't know what they do. But
that's interesting. But if people take it a lot in their body, they won't die so fast. They're going to live a long time.
Well, I don't drink that much pomegranate, but I'm 91 years old, so how much more do you need?
Well, you're great, Bob. I thank you so much for
everything. All right,
everything.
Cindy. Thank you so much. You take care. Bye-bye. Louise in Oakland. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling about my tulip tree. I've had it for lots of years, and it's always been very beautiful. But this year, the leaves are turning yellow on the outer edges, and it's still growing very fast and lots of blooms, but the blooms do not last, and the leaves also die fast. So what type of fertilizer should I use?
I don't think it's a problem of fertilizer. I think it's a problem with lack of rain in the wintertime.
Oh,
see what happens.
Yeah,
you know what's going on with our weather right now is we are in a drought. Most of these plants usually get maybe 6 to 10 inches of rain direct, and it saturates into the ground. Rainwater goes into the ground easier than what we give it out of the tap. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, with that in knowledge, because it also is neutral and it corrects the pH of the soil a lot of the times, because our water in our faucets are pretty much pH into alkaline, and actually in Marin County they put lime in the water so that it doesn't deteriorate the pipes so much. So, yeah, right. Oh, we really need more of that crap. But anyway, we got that going. And so I think if one of the things you have to watch. So right now, I would just put a hose on the next to the trunk of the tree and let it just drip overnight. Okay. Not much else you can do to keep that thing going the way it should be going. But hopefully we'll have some rain this coming winter, and that'll correct the situation, okay?
There she go.
Louise, where'd you go?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay.
Okay. Instead of the CDs to put in the garden to get rid of the birds and the animals,
yeah,
I'd like to suggest that... using aluminum pie plates or aluminum pie tins, because when the wind blows and they clank together, they tend to scare everything away.
Well, that's great. Oh, yeah, that's wonderful, because my poor sunflower, they have been really ripped apart by the birds.
You're listening to Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
What's going on? Are you still there, Louise?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I don't know. Also, one other quick question.
Sure.
I have lots of fruit trees, and of course, they all get ripe at the same time. Mm-hmm. But one of my fruit trees, the peach tree, I had lots of problems with the birds trying to get the fruit. And when I did pull the fruit, the peaches, there's lots of worms in them. Was that something I need to spray for?
Whoa, I haven't heard about the worms on that type of thing. So I think, I've never heard that problem before. I suspect spinosad.
Okay.
A spray, but right as the fruit forms and the blossoms are gone.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And that should correct the situation, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you with all the wonderful things going on in the program this morning. And a lot of fun. Anyway, a lot of fun going. Let's go to Sandy in Sunnyvale. Hi there, Sandy.
Hi. How are you today?
Yes.
Good.
My peach tree had too many peaches on it, and the limb broke, and my question is, if I were to straighten it up, kind of like a broken bone, put a piece of wood, and then duct tape it so it's together, the two pieces, would that work?
Yeah, but it'll never be strong enough to support peaches. Now, is this a big limb on the tree, or do you think I would just remove it?
Yeah. It's about, if you put your index finger to your thumb, that big.
Huh. So it's a pretty good substantial piece, yeah.
I really didn't expect all these peaches. I mean, it's like, hello, where did you come from? I mean,
well,
I didn't have this many
last
year.
The bees were active this year. Peaches, this was a good peach year.
And it's
a terrible olive year. So, you know, guess which way you want to go. So, yeah, I think you're fine. I would try it. You're not going to lose anything. But the problem is that the break are rugged. So matching the cambium layer and the bark and all that together, don't use duct tape. Use a stretchable tape, something like, anything like that, okay? But I just don't know, Sandy, if I can hardly recommend it, because I think you're better off eliminating it and try to get something new coming out of that same branch.
All right. So if I'm going to cut it, I cut it down below the
break. Below the break.
Okay. And then do I close that break somehow with...
No, just cut it off and it'll self-seal. It's not that... anything under 4 inches, or 3 inches rather, is okay. It'll heal itself, okay?
Okay. Can I ask one more thing?
Real quick. Yeah, sure.
You put me in touch with a lady called Merle once.
That was orchid? When was
with
that?
With orchids, yes,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, okay.
Well, my telephone...
How's that for memory?
her telephone number. And so could I say, Merle, please call me?
Oh, sure, you could. I think you just did. Okay, Merle. Call Sandy.
Part.
Okay, there you go. All righty.
Thank you,
Sandy.
Thank you so much.
All right, you take
care.
Have
a good week. Bye-bye.
Bob, we're going to have to take that break, so we'll get right back to you. That's Bob from Sebastopol. So this is Bob Tatum in the Garden Talk, Radio 560 KSFO. Don't forget to call 1415 and 808-5600.
This is Bob Tatum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
And let's go to the other Bob in Sebastopol. Hey there, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Bob. This time I'm going to write your answer down if I can remember it by the time I get back home.
Okay.
It's almost, you know, it's almost fall, and we got to think about spraying for the peach leaf curl. And I can't remember from year to year what the proportion is of the liquid copper to the water.
Oh, I think it's 4 tablespoons per gallon.
4 tablespoons per gallon. Okay, because I don't think I ever use enough, you know.
Timing, I think, Bob, is the most important part, and you want to time it just as the blossoms start to fall.
Oh.
See, by the times the blossoms start to fall, the pollinators have already done their job. And the leaves have yet to come out, but you can protect the tree with that spray just as the blossoms are pretty much gone and before the leaves come out, okay?
Yeah, hopefully the bees are out at that time.
Well, you never know. You know, one of the things with apricots I found that somebody told me, they said, well, if I shake my tomato plants and they're self-pollinating, why can't I shake the blossoms on the apricot tree? And he did, and it came out really great. So there you go.
Well, some people used to use a jacuzzi for that. They put the belt around it and shake the tree.
There you go.
Thanks.
Put one hand in the jacuzzi and one on the tree. There you are.
This time I'll write it down. Bye.
All right, Bob. Thank you so much. That leaves some lines left open if you'd like to join us at 1-415-808-5600. The sun is coming out, the fog is lifting, and so it'll be a nice, bright day, and I hope you enjoy the sun as much as I do, but not too much, but not too little. That type of thing, just enough to keep the water warm in the swimming pool and that type of thing. Anyway, if you'd like to call, that's it. Okay, we went through the corn thing, what to do with that. Another one we have a problem with... tomatoes. I wrote an article about tomatoes for a local thing this morning. This week.
Sometime.
So never mind. It's the basic tomato thing. If you'd like a copy of it, you can email me at bobtanum@aol.com. Yeah, that's the right one. Mm-hmm. And I have that copy. I could forward that to you. It's just a basic kind of thing you do with tomatoes. One big problem coming up, and I'm getting the messages over my email, is the problem with blossom end rot. And, of course, the way to do that, if you've ever had it, you know what it is. It's that dark spot on the bottom of the tomato fruit that actually spoils and does the fruit. And, I went to Burpee's solution on that, and it wasn't really very – I didn't think it was really to the point. Basically, it's just a lack of calcium in the soil. And if you put, grind up eggshells in an osterizer or whatever you have and water, and put that on, it's not going to cure them immediately, but it at least protect that soil from other things. Here we go. Ed in Danville. Hi.
Good morning, Bob.
How are you?
I'm good. I wanted your opinion about a fast-growing tree, a shady tree. I need some shade.
Without a root problem.
I'm sorry?
Where is this going in the lawn or what?
In the grass?
No, I just need to plant a new tree.
Okay. Never mind. Okay, you need a new tree, a fast-growing shade tree without a root problem. I think, Chinese pistache.
Chinese pistache, okay.
It gets around 25 feet tall. It does not have a root problem, turns wonderful color in the fall, and it gives you a winter sun in the garden, so that's why I recommend it.
Okay, Chinese pistache, okay.
Yep.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
All right, Ed, you take care. Goodbye. And let's go to Jean in Berkeley. Hi there, Jean.
Hi there, Bob. A good name. My son and a favorite brother and uncle were all Bobs.
I like that name.
I do, too. Anyway, I have an earth box, and right now, actually, I'm growing tomatoes in it, but I wondered about if I got another one. Can you grow corn in an earth box?
Yes. Now, you have to go to Burpee Seed, and they have a dwarf form of corn that actually miraculously puts out decent-sized ears.
Oh, okay.
They also do Golden Bantam, which, of course, is my favorite. And it's an heirloom type of corn, and it works out really very well. And I think you could, you would need, I think, about 4 canes would be a maximum on that.
Right, okay. Boy, I have you to thank for that earth box. It's been a godsend because I can't garden much anymore, but the earth box, I grow tomatoes every year, and I heard about it from you.
How about that? I haven't I think the company's been sold, and I think they have other earth boxes, and they don't call them earth boxes or something like that, but the same idea, you know. And it works.
Right.
So that's why I really loved it myself. In fact, I think that was, I gave one to my grandsons in Alameda.
Oh.
I think they still have it. Yeah. So it works. So, and it doesn't
it
go
does.
Away. I mean, it works year after year after year. In fact, I think you probably bought that several years ago.
Oh, yes. I'd hate to think how long ago. I'm not quite at your age yet, but I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Okay, so Berkeley Seed would have the so I would grow it from seed, the bantam?
Yeah, it's burpee, B-U-R-P-E.
Oh, burpee seed. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, she ordered them seed. Over the...
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. I enjoy your program a lot.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoy doing it. That's why I'm here. Anyway, okay.
I know
thank you
do.
So much. All right.
Okay.
Enjoy. All right. Let's go to Susie is in El Cerrito. Hi there, Susie.
Hi, Bob. Here I am with another question, and this one's a tomato question. I don't think I've ever asked one. My tomatoes are growing in an earth box, but they're kind of tall and spindly, and they have dead leaves at the bottom. I have a fair amount of fruit, but I'm getting mildew on them. I live in a foggy area of El Cerrito, I can't spray it with VF-11 because I'm afraid that'll make the mildew worse.
Yeah, VF-11 is not it. You know what I do is spray it with baking soda?
And I have your recipe. Was that 4 tablespoons per quart of water?
That is it, yeah.
Okay, and how often would I do that?
I think once you do it.
Oh, because I had some old mixture under the sink, and I sprayed that. It didn't do any good. So I think the baking soda loses its own over time.
Yeah, it does. I think there's a breakdown of some sort of chemical thing that doesn't, I don't know, but it doesn't work after. You should do it fresh, okay?
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Oh, and wait a minute. The question about the dead leaves at the bottom, is that a problem? Just cut them off?
Yeah, just cut them off. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Look for any dark lesion on the leaf itself. Okay, because if you see a sort of like a thing that might turn dark and brown, you want to take the leaf off. But that keep an eye on the tomato plant itself because there could be that blight coming into your plant. That's a new thing. Good God. Nothing ever stops growing but except gardening. And problems in the garden and stuff like that. So, and birds eating my sunflower plants. Anyway.
So if I see that, I just destroy the plant then? It's dying?
No.
Or?
Well, right now, Susie, what you should make sure you do, not so much this year, but for next year, is to make sure you get a plant that has VFN and TNT on the label.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, and that's why I'm here. All right, you take care. Let's go to Mark in San Francisco. Hi.
Hi, Bob. Good morning. I have a quick question. You've been mentioning the pistache tree a lot, and my mind goes to pistachio, and it makes the nuts. Is that incorrect?
That is correct. It's incorrect.
I am correct that it's incorrect. Okay.
That is
okay. Well, I'm pretty good at being incorrect.
The Chinese pistache is not a pistache you grow for the nuts because you have a male and you have a female. And, of course, that's an interesting thing like that. I'm not worried about that because the fruit of it is so tiny you wouldn't really want to eat it anyway. So, the Chinese pistache that I like it because, one, it has a root problem that is not a problem ever. Two, it turns this glorious color in the fall. And three, it's relatively disease-free. There's a couple of little down things on it, but every tree I know has some sort of down thing, so I'm not going to mention it. Okay.
Oh, yes. I'll leave you with this one quick saying from the 1960s about gardens. Life is a garden. Just dig it.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, Mark. I will do that.
Okay, thank you so much, Bob.
Before you go, I've got a joke.
Yes.
What do you never hear in a dollar store?
What?
I have a problem. What's the price of a product on aisle 14? Goodbye.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. You've got that right, sir.
All right. You take care. All right. This is Bob Tatum of the Garden. We're going to take all your calls after this, but we're going to take a break. Our numbers, if you'd like to dial in, we've got about 15 minutes, so rush in at 1-415, then 808-5600. This is Bob Tatum in the Garden Talk, Radio 560, KSFO.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSF.
I was going to talk about, we didn't talk about zucchini. Oh, yeah. There we go. That problem that you're having, and you get the shriveled ends on the brand new plants that doesn't, or fruit that doesn't look like it's ever going to grow. ever going to grow. And stuff like that. Well, that's a lack of pollination. Did you know that? What happens is you got to get, there's a difference in the size of the base of the blossom. One is a male and one is a female. And guess what? You have sex in the garden. You got to have the male and the female and all that kind of stuff. But we all know those kind of things, except you have to know the difference between the male and the female blossom. So what you do is grab the male that has nothing down there at the bottom of the blossom and take the pretty stuff off and throw the pollen into the blossom that has the little thing.
The female blossom.
The female blossom, which has a blah, 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 blah at the end of the blossom. So there you go, and you just do that, and you will have successful zucchini. How's that for that? And let's see, we covered corn today. Haven't had a tomato plant. Did I have a tomato plant call today? I don't know.
Mildew.
Oh, yeah. That was good. That's baking soda. That's easy. 4 tablespoons per quart. Let's see. What else do we have that I have to cover? This is the time of the year where this is August, 1st of August today. And this is the time that you start some of the seeds for winter. And also, you might want to talk about thinking about putting garlic in, which is a fall thing that you put in and that type of thing. Other things to think about harvest your corn. Of course, you're going to do that. And we talked about the corn already this morning. And if people were listening and took notes, and they don't have any problems with their corn anymore. Except the corn is a very heavy feeder. And so when you take the old trunk stuff out, and what I recommend is you leave the root in, cut it off at the base, leave the root in and plant and cover it over with compost, and then go ahead and plant your fall garden one of these days whenever you get around to it. And we'll talk about fall gardening later on because it's a little early, but then, you know, August, September coming. September is the time they start worrying about all your winter garden and stuff like that. And one of the things you continue to plant is lettuce in the garden all the time. Good time to put in broccoli. You might like to do that. Broccoli is an easy one to grow. Brussels sprouts, let's see. There's a whole thing. I'll do that some other day. I've got some reading still to do on Brussels sprout. In the meantime, let's go to Alan in Castro Valley. Hi there.
Good morning, Bob. See, for the first time, I've grown this thing called a mango melon. I got the seeds from Burpee. Uh-huh. And they're doing great. The mango, they're about a foot long. But the leaves are starting to die down at the base of the plant. You know, they're kind of like any other melon, I guess. But is it okay for those leaves to die off, or do I have a problem?
I'm not familiar with the mango melon, but I assume that it's just like any other melon. As the seeds start to form in the melon itself, it's almost time for the melon vine to start going dormant or dying, actually.
Okay.
So I don't think you have any problems there. If it makes you more comfortable for aesthetics, you can just cut them off.
Yeah, we didn't know whether to cut them off or leave them on. They seem to be drinking a whole lot of water. I've never grown melons before, but they're pretty thirsty buggers, and I thought maybe I wasn't giving them enough.
No, if the leaves are next to the base of the vine, yep. I don't think you've got a problem.
Great.
But if the new growth, you should still have some new growth. It won't mature anything, but you should have some new growth. As long as that looks good, the plant's being nourished.
All right. Well, the new little melons that are budding, they're kind of a yellowish. I don't think they're going to make it, you know. Is that something?
Normally they won't, no, because the vine is maturing and it's only a shot for one, probably, well, maybe, I don't know. How many melons do you have on that vine?
Right now, about a half a dozen.
Oh, okay. Well, count your blessings.
All right. Well, I'll let you know how they taste. They're supposed to taste like a mango. We'll see. They look
mango.
Like a cantaloupe.
Whoa. Oh, that's, yeah, I have never grown them myself. But if you have a, you want to take a picture and send it to me on bobtanum@aol.com, I'd love to look at it. Okay?
Yeah, it's an oblong melon, kind of shaped like a watermelon, but only about 12 inches long, and so it's sort of tubular looking. So, all right, well, I thank you. I'm just getting worried, and I've never grown before, and I don't know what to do.
Neither have I. So I'm giving you advice as of melons, which that's pretty much their life cycle, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think you know, your collective wisdom is something to behold, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I guess you learn as you go along. In fact, I hate to talk about my sunflowers, but I'm really upset about it. All right, Alan.
All right, bye.
All right.
Now.
Thank you so much for listening. It's a great idea. And, you know, talking about my sunflower. Okay, here's what, I'm accustomed to birds eating little tiny green things in the fall, because the migrant kind of birds, they go one north and go south, and, you know, and in the meantime, the only green is in the garden, and usually it's lettuce or some of your cauliflower, cabbage, and things like that. I've never, ever had them eat anything else during the summertime, or, well, actually, it is. And so I grew these wonderful sunflowers. They're about 7 feet tall now, and they have a beautiful bloom, and they actually have been pollinated, so I see the seed forming. And then, I came out one morning, and I was watering, and they had all these little funny jagged holes in the leaves. Not the veins in the leaf, but the leaf itself. And I thought, what the heck is that? So I rolled up my normal thing, and might be earwigs. So I rolled up some wet newspaper and put that out there. Zip, no problems with that. And snails and slugs were not the problem. In fact, snails and slugs don't make jagged cuts. They make a circular cut kind of thing. Don't confuse that with the leaf cutter bee. That's a different animal altogether. So there's a lot of challenges, and I'm looking at, well, I don't need another challenge. What the heck? So one morning I was out saying my rosary, and little bird, and then joined by five to six or seven more little birds. And what were they doing? They're eating the leaves of my sunflowers. I can't believe that they were doing that. It was, come on. It was an interesting kind of thought. So I thought, well, all right, we'll let that go and go have some more fun with things like that. But there are some things, and I just, I can't drive. I can't get to where I can get the reflecting tape and put that up there. So I'm just sort of letting it grow and go and see what they are. I have some other little sunflowers. And the other day, I'm looking out my office window and looking at them, and the birds are on those now. I've got them all over the place. I'm not sure why. I've never had this experience before. So if anybody out there, well, whatever, it doesn't matter right now, because they're seated.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.